I would like for you to take your copy of the Word of God, and would you please turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Over the last months, we have been studying together the Gospel of Mark, and we come to the 6th chapter. And as we do, as I looked at the passage that was before us, I noticed that there is a word that is repeated 6 times in the portion that we are going to cover this morning. It is the word hear, or hearing, or heard. It's repeated over and over again. So that obviously is the key word for the passage, and therefore I built this message around that particular word. Now, I also remembered, as I thought about that, and maybe you remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 18, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." There's the word, hear. But did you notice what he said? He said, "Take heed how you hear." In other words, in the way that you hear, or in what frame of mind you are listening when you hear God's word. All the people in the passage today hear the word of God in one way or another. But how do they hear? That's the question. First thought. The people who heard Jesus teach in the synagogue. Can you imagine, had you been living 2,000 years ago, on the Lord's Day, in that case it would have been on the Sabbath, you would come assemble at the synagogue, and the visiting rabbi that morning would be Jesus Christ. It was the custom in that day to ask a visiting rabbi if he would like to share. Verse 1 of Mark 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. That is, this proved a hindrance to their believing in him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, he was amazed, because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. And from that portion, I gleaned one statement that I think is significant. It is possible to know about Jesus Christ, but not know Jesus Christ. We have some young people who are here this morning. This is not just for young people, but one of our concerns always in children's church, in Sunday school, in Awana, we want to make sure that our young people don't just hear about Jesus Christ. We want them to be sure that they know him personally. Because it's one thing to know about him, quite another thing to know him personally. Second group of people who heard Jesus and the disciples, these people heard the disciples preach. Look at verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals, not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear you, there's the word, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And when I read that portion, here are the disciples preaching the word of God to the people. They're preaching about Jesus being the Savior. They're telling the people they need to repent and to realize their sinful condition and they need to be saved. Jesus anticipates that there will be many who will not receive the message. So he prepares his disciples. If they don't listen, you've done what I ask you to do. Shake the dust off of your feet and move on. And then when he said, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for those people. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the opportunity to witness or to hear the disciples or Jesus or to see miracles done by them. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23? Those of you who are hypocrites will receive the greater damnation. Degrees of judgment parallel the measure of revelation and opportunity. So how much opportunity do you have? Third, King Herod heard John the Baptist preach about Jesus. We pick up the passage at verse 14. Now King Herod heard, there's the word, of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, so this is when he hears about Jesus and what he's doing. Listen to this carefully. Herod says, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. Therefore, these powers are at work in him. Others said, no, it's Elijah. Others said, it is the prophet, or he's like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, there's our word, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. Stop right there. King Herod, think about being king of the Jews and you're not Jewish. Herod Antipas hears what's taking place out there. And he says to himself, Who is it? Has John the Baptist come back from the dead? Herod has a guilty conscience. Here is a man who is afraid that what he's hearing has to do with a man that he allowed to be put to death, John the Baptist. He fears, is it possible that this man has come back and God is going to get me for it? He has a guilty conscience. Could I talk to you just a moment about one of the things that distinguishes us from other living things? It is called a conscience. Romans chapter 2 tells us that everyone has a conscience. Let me quote. The Gentiles also, whether you're Jew or Gentile, have a moral principle at work in their hearts. For down in their heart they have a conscience that either accuses or excuses them. Did you notice the conscience is what accuses us or excuses us? I think here's one of the best ways for us to understand the conscience. The conscience is judicial. Let me give you an illustration that you may understand from American history. Our government has three branches: executive, legislative, judicial. The executive branch has to do with what the president does or declares or signs. The legislative branch has to do with the body or bodies of people who make the laws for our country. The judicial part is the court system, the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's responsibility is to be the conscience of our country. They are supposed to look at the laws that have been passed or what is being done, and they are supposed to determine whether it is right or wrong in the sense, is it following the laws of our country? So the judicial system, the Supreme Court, is the conscience of the country that sometimes strikes something down because they say, no, no, that's against the law of America. Or they approve something because it fits in with what the law of America is. The conscience of our country is the Supreme Court in many ways. Our prayers ought to focus on the Supreme Court of America because they are the ones who are making the decisions as to whether or not something is right or wrong according to the laws of our country. That's the conscience of our country, either accusing or excusing. We all have a conscience. A conscience that tells us something is right or wrong. You felt it. Even the person before they come to saving faith in Christ, their conscience speaks to them about what they're doing. Is this right? Am I sinning? Am I doing the wrong thing? Have I broken the laws of God? Well, if they're not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit speaking well, the Holy Spirit does speak to them, but there is a voice also inside of them, which is the conscience, which accuses or excuses. The conscience. But here's a good question. What kind of a conscience do you have? Did you know that in the Bible there are seven consciences? That means we can tamper with our conscience. Let me just list them. Some are good. Some are not accusing and are not functioning as they should. The Bible talks about a pure conscience. I want that. A strong conscience. I want that. A conscience which is void of offense. I want that. A good conscience. I want that. A weak conscience. I don't want that. An evil conscience. I don't want that. If I have an evil conscience, no longer does my conscience convict me and speak to me about what is I'm doing wrong. And the seventh one is a seared conscience. It has become so hard that it hardly functions. And people will live sometimes very ungodly lives, and they have violated their conscience so long that it has become hardened and doesn't function well. So there are all kinds of consciences. What about Herod? Go back to the passage. Mark 6. Herod has a guilty conscience. Verse 17. After he says, you know, this is John whom I beheaded. Has he come back from the dead? For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John the Baptist, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip. Listen to this. He had thrown John the Baptist in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife that he had married. Oh, so he stole his brother's wife. Verse 18. Because John the Baptist had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him, against John the Baptist, and wanted to kill him, but she couldn't. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when King Herod heard John the Baptist, there's our word, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. There was something about John the Baptist when King Herod heard him. He was interested in what he was saying. He wanted to hear John the Baptist. John the Baptist, however, was not afraid to tell King Herod when he was doing something sinful. And this says John the Baptist had told King Herod, what you did is you stole your brother's wife. You're a sinner, a wicked man. John the Baptist wasn't afraid to tell the king what the Word of God said. Where did he get that? Listen to the Old Testament law. In Leviticus 18, verse 16, it says, do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That dishonors your brother and is a sin against God. And John the Baptist wasn't afraid to say to the king, what you're doing is wrong. John the Baptist stood up for God and his word, even when it was not easy. But King Herod, according to this, down deep in his heart, knew that he had a conscience that was telling him, you know, what you did is wrong. Watch what happens. And so, Herodias gets involved. I guess so. Notice, if you will, verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. When Herodias, that's his that's his wife, that's his brother's wife that he stole. When her daughter came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out. Look what happened. She goes to her mother. She went out and she said to her mother, "Mother, what do you want?" She said, "The head of John the Baptist." I've always wanted to get rid of the man who thinks I'm an adulteress. And immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Get this. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet, because of the oaths and because of the promise he made, he didn't want to refuse her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded that John the Baptist's head be brought. And he went and beheaded John the Baptist in prison. And we think we have criticisms, or it's difficult to be a Christian in our day? Come on. John the Baptist had his head cut off because he told the truth and preached the word of God. And they brought, verse 28, he was beheaded, and they brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard, there's our word, of it, they came and took away John the Baptist's corpse, and laid it in a tomb. Question. Do you remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist? Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. At this particular point, John the Baptist is in prison, obviously. He's going to have his head cut off eventually. Verse 2. When John heard in prison about the works of Christ, that is, the miracles that Jesus was doing, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, in other words, he sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus a question. "Are you the one that we've been looking for, the coming Messiah? Or are we supposed to look for a heteros, a person of a different kind?" Here's John's problem. I haven't been there to the extent of John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been preaching for people to repent, to receive Jesus Christ. The Messiah has come. You need to receive him so that you can be saved from hell and go to heaven. And before you know it, John the Baptist is arrested for serving Jesus Christ. I tell you, every time I get my Bible out and I study through it and study through it, and then I study through church history, I say to myself, we haven't faced anything compared to what the millions of Christians through the centuries have faced for standing for Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Just do what God wants you to do. Here's John in prison. He had been telling the people, when the Messiah comes, he's going to bring judgment. And he's going to deal with people. And he's sitting in prison, and you know what word he gets? Jesus is out there healing people and doing miracles and preaching to people. What happened to the judgment? Am I pointing to the wrong person? Would you go ask him, is he the Messiah? Or did I get it wrong? He was confused. Watch Jesus answer. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, I want you to go back and tell John the things that you hear and see, and then I want you to give him a verse of Scripture. Get that. Jesus answers with Scripture. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Where did Jesus get those statements? He got those statements from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6, and Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, that say when the Messiah comes, he's going to heal the sick and raise the dead and preach the gospel to the people. What Jesus just said, go back and show John what the Bible says. I'm doing what the Old Testament says I will do when I come. I'm the one. He got it right. I'm the Messiah. He just doesn't understand why he's in prison. But I'm doing what the Old Testament said I would do. But read on. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist. Now, this is Jesus now preaching to the multitudes of people, and he's going to now say something about John the Baptist. John the Baptist doesn't get to hear it. But he's going to tell everybody what he thinks of John the Baptist. Jesus said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Stop right there. What did you think John the Baptist would be? You think he would just say what you wanted him to say? Just like a reed blowing the wind? Oh, you don't like this? Okay, well then I'll just tell you this. Oh, you're living this way? Well, that's okay. Do you think John the Baptist is going to tell you just what you wanted? Just to please you? Oh no, he's not a compromiser. Then Jesus says, or did you think he was going to be a man clothed in soft garments? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Did you think John the Baptist was going to be a celebrity? I didn't call him to be a compromiser or a celebrity. Then Jesus says, and remember, John doesn't get to hear this. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, Jesus says, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has never risen one greater than John the Baptist. What? You want to know who the greatest person, because of who he was and his character and what he did, and he was faithful to Jesus Christ, even though it wasn't easy to be faithful to Jesus Christ? Jesus said, of all the men born to women, nobody has been greater than John the Baptist. Wow. A passage like this gives me even more strength in ungodly America, among even some Christians who I know, and I'm not cynical, but I tell you, I am so saddened and maybe disgusted by people who profess to be Christians and live like the devil, like the world. It makes you sick. God bless John the Baptist. He didn't just tell people what they wanted to hear. He wasn't afraid to say to King Herod, you adulterer. Stole your brother's wife. He's the greatest man ever born. And then Jesus said, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, John was the last one to point to the Messiah. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come before me. In verse 15, oh, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's our word. What Jesus said was, what kind of ears do you have? How are you hearing? Do you just hear what you want to hear? Or are you willing to say, you know what? I'm wrong. I sinned. I need to get my life right with God. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. The most important thing ever is for us to obey God's word. To obey. We are here worshiping the true and the living God, who sent Jesus, and we know him. That's why this church exists. That's why we are listening to this book. Jesus Christ. I want to please Jesus Christ more than anything. Whether other people accept me or don't accept me, when I stand before the Lord, I do want him to say, good and thank you, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. Some people got mad at you. Some people didn't like it. And some people left your church or whatever. But thank you for preaching my word. Oh, I have one more question. Do you remember what Jesus said to King Herod when he finally met him? Turn to Luke 23 in closing. Luke 23. Luke 23, beginning at verse 1. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is the Christ, a king. Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, Jesus said, it is as you say, yes, I am. Pilate went to the chief priests and the crowd, and he said, I don't find any fault in this man. Oh, they were the more fierce. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard the word Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who also was in Jerusalem at that time. Verse 8, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. This is the same Herod, by the way, that had John's head cut off. For he had desired for a long time to see Jesus, because he had heard so many things about him. And he hoped to even see some miracle done by him. And he questioned Jesus with many words. But Jesus answered him nothing. He wouldn't speak to him. He questioned them with many words. That means he asked him a lot of questions. And Jesus refused to speak to Herod. You know why? If you won't listen to John the Baptist, you already heard God's word. And you cut his head off and silenced the word of God. Be careful what you say and how you hear.